You're listening to Upfront. I'm your host, Vilma V, and I'm sitting in for Brian Edwards-Tiekert, who's going to be back tomorrow. The prison industrial complex and mass incarceration are familiar terms for many of us. And even in the last 10 years, California began spending more on incarceration than on education, a situation that many find utterly deplorable and an inefficient use of resources. Many are also aware that people in prison need rehabilitation more than punishment. But what is the best way to reestablish an incarcerated person's connection to society, his or her family, or even himself? My next guests believe that art and arts programming is an important piece in solving our mass incarceration crisis. And they're all part of an important conference happening this week at the University of San Francisco. It's called Creativity Saves People's Lives, National Conference of Champions of Arts Programs in Prisons. It explores the best practices and approaches to reducing recidivism and improving rehabilitation through the arts. To talk more about the conference and the prison art program in general, I have in the studio with me this morning USF Professor Larry Brewster, who's the author of A Quantitative Evaluation of California Prison Arts Program. Good morning.
Good morning.
I also have on the line Lori Brooks, who's the Executive Director of the William James Association, who's one of the hosts of the upcoming conference. And I also have the pleasure of speaking with a former inmate who can give us a first-hand account of the benefits and the impact the prison arts program have on him. His name is Guillermo. Are you with us?
Yes.
Good morning, Guillermo.
Good morning.
So let me start with you, Lori. Your foundation is one of the sponsors of the program. Tell us about the conference.
Okay, well, the William James Association is partnering with California Lawyers for the Arts, and we're producing this conference about arts and corrections and calling it Opportunities for Justice and Rehabilitation. It's a really wonderful, it's shaped into a really wonderful agenda that's really diverse and exciting. We've got about 200 people coming at this point for the conference, and we've got about 60 presenters. The first day we're going to have training that's kind of focusing on bringing in new artists and helping them to get their feet solidly on the ground for working in prisons. It's a really interesting and challenging environment for an artist to work in. So we're trying to give them some support around how to best navigate the prison system. And then on Wednesday, we've got some more around supporting the field. It'll be kind of networking and resource sharing and coalition building. We have a really neat panel that Guillermo is going to be on. That's a perspectives panel. And that includes several members of prison staff that do, you know, the counseling and the community partnership manager that runs all the volunteer programs and some recreational therapists. And anyway, that's going to be really interesting to get some perspectives from different angles. We've got a parent of an inmate and that kind of thing. And then on Thursday, we're doing Making the Case, which is going to focus on research and featuring Larry Brewster and some of his colleagues that are doing some really incredible research right now, helping us to make the case for continuing funding for arts and corrections, as well as some stuff around advocacy and public outreach. And then on Friday will be the grand finale. We've got Senator Lonnie Hancock as our keynote speaker, Craig Watson, the director of the California Arts Council, and Millicent Tidwell, who is the director of rehabilitation programs with the Department of Corrections. And then we're going to troop over to San Quentin Prison for an afternoon of artwork and performances with the men that live there, and we have a really vibrant art program at San Quentin that I'm really proud of. It's wonderful to show it off.
And I also have with me here Professor Brewster. Tell us a little bit about your research and the findings that came out of your report.
Well, first of all, back in 1983, I did a cost-benefit study of arts and corrections and found it to be very cost-effective. The benefits outweighed the costs substantially. Among other things, we learned through the research that the institutional tension and behavioral changes among inmates was greatly improved. More recently, I've been evaluating the arts program using a quantitative methodology as well as through interviews. And among the many findings, some of the more interesting and I think powerful findings is it's pretty evident that, among other things, the inmates' work ethic is quite extraordinary. They've learned through art, education, and practice the value of discipline and focus and a commitment to completing projects. Also, the arts program, there's every evidence that it helps to bridge the racial divide. I've observed, as well as measured through surveys and interviews, extraordinary coming together of the different races in the name of art. Also, the reconnecting with family. A number of the inmates, inmate artists, have used their art as a vehicle for reconnecting with particularly children, but also with parents, grandmothers in particular, they often mention. And many of the inmates also value the giving back opportunities by donating their art to auctions in support of nonprofits. One of the most powerful findings is this idea that they discover through their art practice a new identity. They identify themselves first and foremost as artists, and only secondarily, or maybe third or fourth on the list, as inmates or convicts. They take great pride in their work, and it's really something to behold.
And I have also on the line Guillermo, who actually was someone who experienced the art program. Does what the professor's talking about, does that resonate with you? Is that true for your experience?
Yes. I've found that art allows an expression that isn't expressible otherwise. I can be around somebody and not knowing the words to use, the art can express what I feel. And Dr. Brewster had mentioned how artists in prison get together, that their biases and group thinking goes to the side, and they're there as artists. And I found that to be true. In my journey through the prison system, I would be showing something to a friend, and somebody else who wouldn't normally be around me would come by and look, and then all of a sudden we were just conversing as artists and not with any type of racial separations.
And Guillermo, do you care to tell us where you served and how long you served? And I totally understand if you don't want to.
Oh, darn. Okay, I've been through Old Prison, San Quentin, Folsom, Vacaville, California Men's Colony, Dual Vocational Institute, Youth Training School, and that was for a total of 38 years. I played around with art when I was young. A teacher had made a comment, and I stopped drawing. I actually forgot I could do that. Later on, while incarcerated, I tried to do tattoo patterns. I couldn't do it. I kept at it. And I finally, oh, I can draw. And so I've just been, and I would do artwork throughout my years of incarceration.
So it sounds like you are someone who can draw, but tell us a little bit more about your art. I know we're on the radio, can't really see it, but tell us a little bit about it.
I spent a lot of my time in prison in the security housing units. I was a criminal. My whole attitude and way of life was criminal and troublemaker through the first half of my incarceration. So I was in the hole administrative segregation, and I would have access to pencil, ballpoint pen at times, and sometimes colored pencils, pastels, and I would use those. And when I got out of the hole, I was able to take part in Arts and Corrections in Vacaville, and I learned to paint with acrylic paints, and that's basically what I do now. And the subject matter usually has people involved. For me, people are what makes, I don't know, landscapes are beautiful, but I love people, and people have so much expression. That's what I enjoy painting mostly.
And it sounds like then you were in custody for several decades. Has the time you spent creating art or in prison helped you when you left the prison?
Yes, I'm an artist now. I'm in this house, and I'm surrounded by art pieces that I will put to use. I'm still learning marketing, but we have what they call open studios annually, and I'm getting stuff ready for then. But, yeah, you know, I'll work on a painting, and sometimes I'll struggle with it. And there's one I just finished. It must have taken me like 3 or 4 years till it got to how I wanted it to be. And I think of it just like life and the struggles, learning solutions. It's like I got to get it right. If in the past, it didn't matter however things ended up or consequences. And now it's like things have to be done right. My life journey has to be a piece of art, just like the painting. And I have to learn to do it properly with my community in mind and not just me.
And you're listening to the voice of Guillermo. He's a former inmate telling us about his creative life since leaving prison and taking part in the California Prison Arts Project. Tell us, Professor Brewer, you wanted to add something.
Well, first of all, I'm a proud owner of one of Guillermo's pieces of work, and it's extraordinary. I've also observed him as an actor. The Arts and Corrections program has an active theater program as well as visual arts, music, whole range of fine arts programming. And when he speaks about wanting to perfect his work and to perfect each piece he works on, that again is something I've heard over and again from inmate artists who I've interviewed and observed. That commitment to, again, discipline, wanting to do the very best they can and to get better. And it's really quite impressive. Very candidly, I wish some of my students at the university were as committed to to that kind of perfection.
You're counting on them not listening this early in the morning, aren't you?
I am.
And tell us, Laurie Brooks, who's the executive director of the William James Association, it seems like the prison rehabilitation programs, the budget has jumped in 2014. Can you talk a little bit about the funding? And I read that it was restored in 2014 after a 10-year hiatus.
Yeah, sure. Well, the program actually was begun under Governor Jerry Brown's administration back in 1977 when he appointed Eloise Smith as the first director of the California Arts Council. And she got really inspired. She was judging an art competition at a prison, and she got really inspired by what she saw there. And she wasn't at the Arts Council very long. She said bureaucracy really wasn't, she didn't have a taste for bureaucracy. So she left the CAC and she started to work on creating the Prison Arts Project. And so that was 1977. We started in one prison, and then we had a pilot in four prisons, and then we kind of got the attention of one of our senators, who Senator Henry Mello, who really took the ball and ran with it, and he helped to institutionalize this as part of the Department of Corrections budgets. So when they were building all these new prisons in the 80s, they would have an arts and corrections room. And the beauty of the design of the program was that there was actually an artist facilitator, a staff person on site to help to support the program and to, you know, create a space and, you know, make this program come together. We had at least five artists a week teaching in each prison, and it was really a vibrant program until about 2003 when the funding, the state budget took a dive, and so they were just cutting programs left and right. They really slashed the California Arts Council budget, and they slashed the budget for arts and corrections. So we had a lean dozen years in between where we kept the program alive at San Quentin because we had a lot of resources, both, you know, Marin being a wealthy county that we were able to get some foundation support, and also just the rich support of artists in the area, in the Bay Area, who were really interested in supporting this program by volunteering and working for less than what they should be paid. And so the funding just, the last 4 years, we got hooked up with the California Lawyers for the Arts, and I can't say enough wonderful things about Alba Robinson, who kind of adopted this program and said, hey, this is some work that we should be doing for California Lawyers for the Arts. And she just really helped us with the advocacy aspect, which was not our strong suit. We do great programs, and we were fortunate to have hooked up with Larry Brewster, who does this great research that helps us to make the case. But as far as advocacy, not so much my strong suit or my organization's strong suit. So it's been really great to have, you know, really strong programs, really amazing high quality artists. That's the core of our model. And then to have the research and the advocacy help to support that. So last year we were able to see funding restored through kind of a different way. We don't have the arts facilitator at the prisons, but we've got the California Arts Council, who is really wonderful support for what we're doing. And there seems to be kind of a sea change at the Department of Corrections, where they're really interested in rehabilitative programs. And we're just really thrilled that they are seeing how valuable and important the arts can be as part of that effort.
And you're listening to the voice of Lori Brooks. She's the executive director of the William James Association. I also have in the studio with me Larry Brewster. He's a professor at the University of San Francisco and a former inmate who has benefited from a prison arts program. We're talking about prison arts in an upcoming conference at the University of San Francisco. Professor Brewster, I saw that some of your findings was about how being involved in these projects help relieve stress, make someone feel happier, gain insight. Talk to us a little bit about how art can do that for someone.
Yes, it's a great question. What I've studied and observed, I've spent a lot of time in the studio with the inmate artists working, and it's pure joy to watch how involved they are in their art. And over and again, they describe it as an opportunity to do their time meaningfully. And I had one inmate describe for me, he's a sculptor, and he would get up some mornings in his cell and start a project, and before he knew it, it was 7 or 8 at night, and he didn't know where the day went. He was so absorbed in his work. The other thing that I do want to mention, the research shows that there is a very strong correlation between the participation in arts and corrections and pursuing other educational vocational programs. And what I've learned is that the inmates often gain confidence, self-esteem and self-confidence through their development of art skills, whether it be writing, theater, visual arts, music, whatever it might be. But they develop a sense of accomplishment, and they see finished products that they get a lot of praise for, a lot of positive feedback from both other inmates and correctional officers and the general public. And it gives them the confidence then to pursue education programs or vocational programs.
It really sounds like an amazing project. I also want to just end briefly, since we're just about out of time. Lori, can you give us the just 411 on if there's an artist out there who's interested in joining the program, someone wants to attend the conference, get more information? Whoever's the best to do that can do it right now.
Well, for registering for the conference, you can go to the CaliforniaLawyersForTheArts.org, and they have the registration information there and the agenda and all of that stuff. And for learning more about the Prison Arts Project, you can go to PrisonArtsProject.org, and that's our website.
Professor Brode, do you have any closing comments for us?
No, except that it's been a real reward and pleasure for me to come to know these artists both in and outside of prison.
And Guillermo, will you be showing your work at this conference?
I think there will be some slides there, but I'm not, I don't have anything that will be there.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I really appreciate hearing from Professor Brewster, professor of the University of San Francisco, Lori Brooks, the executive director of the William James Association, and Guillermo, a former inmate. Thank you so much for talking to me this morning on Upfront. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Vilma. Yes, thank you.
Gracias. And that does it for today's show. Thanks so much for spending the hour with me. I'm Vilma V. Upfront is a production of the KPFA News Department that airs weekday mornings at 7 a.m. I want to thank my guests, Mary Small, Rachel Gorfried, Professor Larry Brewster, Lori Brooks, and Guillermo. Thank you so much. If you'd like to give us feedback or suggestions, send us an email at upfront@kpfa.org. Our theme music is Turn It Up by the Digital Primitives. Eileen Alfandari is our executive producer and our news editor. Linda Curry is our interim producer. Our production intern is Caitlin Kendall. Kirsten Thomas is our board engineer, always holding it down. My name again is Vilma V. I've been your host this morning. Brian is back tomorrow. Maricha is back. Stay tuned now for Uprising. Have a great day.